Every time we look at Aston Villa, they're just signing a new extension or a new contract with Unai Emery.
I know. They just like to do this.
I genuinely thought that this was old news. The more times he does it, the better, John.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Colin George, Irish Paralympian for table tennis. You're the only table tennis player in Ireland that's representing Ireland. Tell us a little bit about that and I suppose what that means to you.
Oh, it's really special, Aisling. Yeah, I'm very, very proud to be competing in my second Paralympics. I started playing table tennis 18 years ago and it's been a massive part of my life since then. It all started back when I was about 11 years old. I was trying out lots of different sports because I went to an able-bodied school, St. Michael's College, and a lot of my friends started playing rugby and I knew that I wanted to find a sport. So the first sport that I tried was wheelchair rugby, and I wasn't very good at it even though I really enjoyed it, and it made me realise that I wanted to find a sport. So I remember going to a multi-sport camp with my brother back when I was 11, and table tennis was the only sport that I could beat him at, so I decided to pursue. I knew then. But like, even though I could beat my brother, it was really difficult, like learning to play table tennis with one limb. And I played in an able-bodied club in Ireland. Table tennis is obviously a minority sport in Ireland, and that's probably a big reason why I'm the only table tennis player competing in the Paralympics. But it was, I suppose, progress was pretty slow at the start. I trained in an able-bodied club. I think I won the Irish Nationals kind of when I was about 16. And I suppose it was at that point that I realised maybe I had a bit of potential. And then I started to compete internationally. And that was a big shock to my system at the time. I kind of fancied myself as a good player. And I kind of realised then that the level abroad was a lot higher. And yeah, I had a lot of work to do. But you know, I think when I made my international debut, the other athletes and the other players, a lot of them were a role model to me, and they really sort of gave me a lot of belief. It was the first time I'd seen guys in wheelchairs competing at a really high level, and it just gave me a lot of hope and belief that I could do it myself.
And you mentioned there that you went to St. Michael's College and a lot of your friends were playing rugby. So I'm sure you were watching on at them and seeing them out on the pitch. And obviously you love sport and you wanted to find your own sport. What was that like growing up and looking to find your own way?
Yeah, I think it was quite difficult at the start. I think, you know, I was born with one arm and no legs. And the only thing that a teenage boy wants is to fit in. And when you've got one arm and no legs, it's a really difficult thing to do. But I think sport, I suppose I was struggling at my disability around the age of 11 or 12, and I think table tennis gave me a lot of confidence in myself, and it obviously it allowed me to travel and to meet people who sort of changed my perspective on a lot of things. But having said that, my friends were so good to me always. It's just, I suppose, when they were playing rugby, I kind of didn't have very much to do, and that's why I'm so grateful to have found table tennis. I don't know how I would have coped back then without it. And you know, I think table tennis, the success that I've achieved in table tennis has sort of translated into other areas in my life as well, and that's just why I'm so grateful. And I've always felt that I owed it to myself to give it everything, and you know, hopefully, you know, if I can win a medal in Paris, I can encourage the next generation of table tennis players. We've got a growing squad now in para table tennis in Ireland, and I just really want to give them the belief and hopefully more funding for the sport, and just hopefully it can grow, because I think it has a lot of potential.
And in terms of the funding, I know you get a certain amount and then there's probably a lot you have to do yourself. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, well, I think now it's obviously a lot easier. I'm a carded athlete by the Sports Council, but I think it was the development stage, which was so difficult for me and for my parents at the beginning. I would have worked full time for years and funded a lot of my training camps and competitions myself. There just isn't really very much money in development in table tennis, and I think that's what makes it so difficult for, you know, our pathway and development players. They just can't get away as much as I can, and they can't go to enough training camps. They couldn't be full time like I am. I think that's really the first kind of step. There needs to be a lot more focus on development, and you know, then I think we'll see players kind of go through the development stage into pathway and hopefully into high performance. because it took me so many years. I think, like, I won my first big tournament, the European Championships, in 2017, and, you know, I'd been playing for 8 or 9 years at that stage, and I'd been all around the world, and, you know, that doesn't happen, yeah. You know, with no support. So I'm very grateful to my family and my friends. I'm very lucky that, you know, they gave me that opportunity to travel all around the world and to move up the ranks slowly but surely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, now, like, funding is, it's still obviously quite difficult. I have to travel away a lot, and I have a lot of different camps and competitions to go to. It's table tennis is a minority sport, like I said, and I really do need to travel to compete against, you know, guys in wheelchairs that compete at a high level, and unfortunately we just don't have that in Ireland, and we don't really have venues to practice in even, so that's like a big reason why I need to travel. But yeah, look, hopefully if I can bring home a medal in Paris, it might attract a little bit of attention and hopefully a bit of funding, and for LA 2028 we might have 2 or 3.
There you go. We're 85 days away now, Colin. It's exciting times. What has it meant for your family to see you representing Ireland?
Yeah, well, obviously they missed me in Tokyo. There was no crowd, so I think they're very, very excited to be there in Paris 2024. They've booked their flights and their accommodation a good while ago. I had a good year last year, so like qualification and selection obviously wasn't guaranteed until today. But yeah, they've been planning it for quite a while, and a lot of my friends are coming over as well. So I'm just really, really excited, and hopefully I can put in a good performance for them.
Brilliant. And in terms of growing up, was there ever an athlete that you really looked up to?
Well, I was a big Man United fan growing up, so it was definitely my favourite player was Cristiano Ronaldo. But I think also in table tennis, the number one in the world in my class is Feng Pan Feng, and I always looked up to him, like, as a player who's, he's never actually lost a match in a major tournament, and I might have to compete against him in Paris, but look, there's a first time for everything. And but like, he definitely like gave me a lot of hope. He's in a wheelchair like myself, and he just competes at such a high level, and he never loses, and yeah, that sort of gave me a lot of belief, like, because like I said, I didn't really have a role model growing up. I couldn't really identify with like a lot of the able-bodied players that I would play against, and when I saw someone at a wheelchair, in a wheelchair competing at like such a high level, it gave me a lot of belief that I could do the same.
And in terms of sports, do you follow any other sports other than table tennis?
Yeah, well, I'm a big Man United fan, so they had a good result there last week, beating Man City. That was a massive, it was a big, big shock. But I also like to swim. Yeah, that's kind of something that people maybe don't know about me. I like to swim, like, for exercise and to get away from table tennis for a little while. So swimming is definitely my second favourite sport.
And if I had to ask you advice that you would give maybe up-and-coming para-athletes, what advice would you give?
I'd say never be afraid to fail. I think that's what I was sort of very afraid of, like, growing up. I think I was in class 2 for about 10 years. So the way Paralympics works is it's classified on the severity of your disability, and the wheelchair classes go from 1 to 5. And so I was classified into class 2 at the age of 12 and presumed that it was something that was never going to change. And, you know, then when I was classified up into class 3, I went from being ranked 4th in the world to 36 in the world. And I think when I was in class 2, I had like quite a protective attitude, and I was always very afraid to lose. And I just suddenly had to reinvent myself when I was reclassified. And, you know, I've really felt that I enjoyed table tennis so much more when I focused on my performance a lot more than the results, because, you know, as I've grown older, I've realized that we can't really control the result ever. And so what I'd say to young players is just to focus on improving and focus on your performance, and don't be really focused on what other people are doing, or because everyone's on a different journey at the end of the day. And even though I'm measured differently now in my new class, I've realized that, you know, the best way that I can improve is to try and be better than I was yesterday, and that's just what I try and focus on now.
Amazing. And finally then, Colin, what has sport meant for you in your life? What has it done for you?
It's hard to put into words, really. I think like the biggest thing at the start was just that it helped me cope with my disability, which I found really, really difficult. Like growing up as a teenage boy, I kind of was very sad and angry that, you know, I was born with one arm and no legs, and that was really, really hard. But like I said, table tennis sort of gave me a passion and a drive, and you know, something that made me realize that for all that I couldn't do, like, there was a lot that I could do. And then I suppose going on from that, like, it's table tennis, the success that I achieved in table tennis, and you know, the goals that I set out for myself, even though I didn't haven't reached all of them, I have reached a lot of goals that I set out for myself. And you know, that's definitely boosted the relationship I've had with me, and the success I've achieved in table tennis has definitely like translated into academics and a lot of other areas in my life, and I'm just very grateful for that. And you know, I really hope that I can put in a good performance in Paris. And you know, I don't want to finish in Paris. I'm not really looking beyond Paris 2024, but I'm really hopeful that I can continue doing what I love until LA 2028, because table tennis and sport is such a massive part of my life.
Well done, Colin. That was brilliant. Well, best of luck with all your preparation now, and I can't wait to see you in action in Paris 2024.
My best.
Ellen Keane, you are just out of the pool and we're 85 days away from the Paralympics. How are you feeling at this point?
I am feeling so excited. It's come by so quickly. And we just had our kind of last competition there, the trials, to get qualification in different events as well. So all of us have kind of qualified earlier on, and it was a chance for us to try and get a few more events maybe. And I managed to get 100 backstroke as well. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really looking forward to it.
And how has the training been? Obviously you had the European Championships, which was so successful as well. How has it been since then and all of the prep so far?
It's kind of just been maintaining our form from Europeans leading into the trials, so that we've had a chance to kind of race again. And now it's kind of, and then we had like a couple of days off, and now we're kind of building back up. So now we're in the home straight. Now we're in the fun, exciting times of all the kind of hard, intense testing things are going to start soon, and then kind of build it up until we bring it back down for taper. So like, I can't really say too much yet because it's kind of been a little bit easy, but it won't be in a few weeks.
Yeah. And all the experience that you've had, obviously this is going to be your fifth game. So do you, I suppose, bring all that experience into it? And even the mental side, like you're saying there, like it's the home stretch. Do you think about it more? Do nerves kick in, or are you well able to cope with all of that side of things?
I don't want to be naive to the kind of pressures that come around games time, and each games is so individual. Like every games that I've been to, I feel like it's a whole new experience. So I don't know what challenges are going to be thrown at me in Paris, and just in the lead up to it now, I'm coming to the end of my career. So I feel that pressure, and I feel all those emotions, and it's kind of learning to ride that wave as well, and making sure that I lean into the like support staff that are around me and the sports psych that's there on site for me to talk to and manage it. It's really, really fun because the team is so dynamic. There's everyone's a different age, everyone's a different experience, and to be kind of the eldest on the team going in, I feel like I'll be able to help out the younger ones if they're struggling with their first games, whereas coming towards the end, I don't know what to expect.
And do you feel like you have to live in the moment also to take it all in?
Definitely. Very aware of the ticking time. And I don't want to kind of get to the end of it and not realize I wasn't in the moment. So yeah, for me at the moment, it really is just trying to be as present as possible and trying to enjoy each session as it comes. And yeah, like enjoying it one last time.
And overall, what would you say sport has meant to you in your life and what it has done for you?
It's been my whole life. Like, I don't know anything else. It's been my family. I think that's the probably best way of describing it. It's been my family outside of my family, and all of my teammates that have come and gone over the years, I still see them as nearly like my brothers and my sisters, and all the sports staff are just part of the extended family as well. So to be the one that's kind of leaving the pack is a bit strange for me, but yeah, it's been a roller coaster.
It's been amazing.
It has, yeah.
And for you growing up, was there this athlete that you looked up to in any sport or any walk of life that you really always sort of looked at and said, you know, what they've done is incredible?
Not really. I guess I just get so inspired more about how much our sport has grown, and especially so when I began, Paralympic sport and para sport wasn't really that well documented. Yeah. A lot of people didn't know a lot about it. So I feel a lot of pride in seeing the journey it's been on and seeing how much growth has happened there. And I get so inspired by my teammates, and even swimming itself, and seeing what the Swim Ireland girls are doing in the pool is incredible to see. And I love the fact that the Olympics will be first, because we get to see them and we get to see and be so inspired by them, and that will give us a bit more of a motivation to get over the last few weeks into the Paralympics.
And what advice would you give then to any young athletes up and coming?
Do as your coach says. I think the biggest one is to make sure you do all the little things right, and make sure you're doing your rehab, your prehab. Those are the things that are going to hold you back, because it's all those like little niggles that build up over time that you end up getting injured with. And if you perfect them from a young age and you get into the habit from a young age, that can really set a really solid base for you going into a senior career.
And are you looking forward to life after para swimming?
Yeah, but I don't know what it's going to look like yet. And
that's exciting.
I know. I think that's the most exciting part of it, is not knowing what's next. And just, I'm looking forward to just the rest.
Yeah, chill out.
And not having to be in Blanchard Sound on the swim campus every day.
It's only 10 o'clock and you're already out of the pool.
Yeah.
So amazing. Good stuff, Ellen. Thanks so much for
your time.
Thank you. Nicole Turner, you're just out of the pool. It's all prep for the Paralympics, 85 days to go. How are you feeling at this point?
I'm glad you're counting on that. God, 85 days, I thought we'd a bit longer than that. No, it is very exciting. I think losing a year from Tokyo, being in 2021, it has made a massive difference. But no, it is very exciting, and I'm very happy with where I am in my training block.
And the European Championships, for anyone that doesn't know, tell us all about them. They were very successful.
Europeans were very good to me, and I think, I don't know if it's Madeira itself, but any time I've gone, I've always come out with a few medals on around my neck. First time as a European champion, which was a nice moment and a nice crown to take, joint as well, and then a silver and two bronze came with that as well. So I think it was nice, kind of, that was our last finisher now before Paris, so it was nice to finish on a high going into Paris.
Yeah, and to win the gold, that must have been special.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, like, Europeans, the year of the games, I will admit, like, it's not as competitive as it would be if it was a Europeans on its own. But no, still to have that title, it is special.
Amazing. And for the next few months then, what does your training schedule look like? And yeah, tell us a little bit about all of that.
The next few months, they settle down in a way, but then ramp up in another way. Like, I think we've two training camps, so between now and Paris, we're actually going on a camp with our club in the NAC on the 22nd of June for 10 days. So that'll be kind of like the prep camp before we go back on camp on the 6th of August. And then we're away then until the games. So we'll be in Fuerteventura 2 weeks before Paris, and then in Paris about 5 days before it starts. So I think it'll be a nice kind of, it'll be a busy month of August, but I think it'll be nice to kind of finalise, and then we'll all be in the team environment weeks before stepping up and competing.
And for friends and family, are they coming over to the game?
Of course they are.
They're all booked.
Yeah, I think that is also, like, for me at the start, I didn't think anything of it. But now it is special. Once in a lifetime, all my family are coming. So, like, my mom, my dad, my two brothers, which that never happens. And then even my friends, like, obviously my close friends are coming, but even friends that, like, I would talk to, and they've messaged me and they're like, oh my God, I got tickets to your race. Like, it's just, it's nice, like,
it's
that.
Lovely.
And I think the fact we didn't have that in Tokyo will be extra special now in Paris.
Yeah, what does all that support mean? And obviously maybe media coverage, things like that. Everything feels like it's ramped up in the right way, and it's great to see.
Absolutely. I think, like, some would say I'm getting old now. I've been around since Rio in 2016.
You just started so young, that's it.
I feel old, don't worry. Starting in Rio in 2016, I think even I've seen the coverage of that games, and I think people said, like, not an significant amount of money went into that. And then Tokyo, I think people did see Tokyo because I think we didn't have the crowd in Tokyo, so everyone at home made it extra special being at home supporting us from here. But now to be in Paris, have that media coverage, have that support, and then people will be there as well, I think it'll be a games that we'll all remember.
Oh, it's so exciting. And if I had to ask you your favorite current athlete in any sport, who would it be?
Oh, wow.
Tough one.
I'll probably say Ellen Gein. I've trained alongside Ellen now for the past... God, I feel old. She's a lot older than me. I've officially trained beside Ellen since 2017. But we went to Rio in 2016, Tokyo in 2021. And now we're going to Paris together. And that'll be her last, kind of last hurrah. And then she's leaving us. So I think everything she's done for Paris in itself is amazing. And I think I just look up to her every day and everything she does.
Oh, that's lovely. And remind people what age you were in Rio.
I was 14 in Rio and I'm 22. Well, I'll be 22 in Paris and I'm feeling it.
22 at your third Paralympics. That's just incredible.
I know.
It really is.
Yeah, people are joking about LA and I'm like, God, that's another 4 years.
I can't even think of it.
Exactly. Focus on now.
Oh, brilliant. And is there any other sports that you have an interest in or like to follow, or are you too busy yourself?
I think we're too busy, especially I think like the Paralympics is over 10 days. It is nice that we have, like, normally Worlds or Europeans would only be 7 days. So it is nice for ourselves that we have that extra bit of time. But even though we have that extra bit of time, we never get to go and support or see other athletes. So I think, although Paris, if some of us finish early, then we might get the opportunity. But I think it's about solely focusing on ourselves. And then even if we're finished, supporting swimmers, I say, finish as well. So I think take it as it comes, but no, it's always been swimming for me.
Oh, brilliant. And what advice would you give to any young up and coming athletes?
I think don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. And I think another thing I'd tell myself when I was younger is listen to the people around me. Like, I think I'll admit from a young age I didn't love swimming, especially back when it was serious, but not as serious as it is now. My mum and dad would be taking me swimming, get me out of bed at 5 o'clock, and I absolutely hated it. And I was like, why do I have to do this? And now it all pays off and I get myself out of bed in the morning and I do want to do it and it's my job. But I think if I didn't listen to them, then I would have just been like, oh, I don't want to swim anymore.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks so much, Nicole. Yeah, the best of luck now. 85 days to go, just in case you
thanks
know.
For that woman.
Thank you. Roisin Éireann, how are things? It is 85 days until the Paralympic Games. Are you getting excited now?
Yes, definitely. I think the excitement is building at the moment. You know, we're so close and I suppose in heavy training at the moment. So head down and focused at the moment.
And tell me a little bit about the European Championships. Obviously, it was quite successful for you.
Yes, it was definitely a very successful championships and, you know, loads to learn from and take from that as well, which is always a great thing to be able to have stuff to learn from. You know, I think I got a PB out there, so that's always the goal when you get out to race, and picking up a few medals as well is always great.
You're being so modest. A few medals, 5 medals. Amazing. So tell us, for people that don't know, what medals you got and what stroke you got it in.
So I got a gold in the 100 backstroke and 100 breaststroke S13, and then a silver in the 100 fly and 200 IM, and then a bronze in the 400 freestyle.
Unbelievable. That's incredible. And for your family and friends and seeing the success that you're having, and also for them getting excited, I'm sure, to go to the Paralympics too. What did that mean to them?
Yeah, no, it's definitely really nice for them to be able to come this time around, because I think, you know, obviously last time in Tokyo was quite different with no friends or family being able to be there. So I think definitely it's exciting for them as well, being able to come and watch. I'll have my family there and I know some of my friends from home are going to come as well. So it'll be really nice to have them in the stands.
And overall, what has sport meant for you in your life?
I think sport for me has always been, you know, my like escape. So, you know, swimming in the water can be quite peaceful if you're not doing a really hard session. But no, it's always nice to be able to get into the water and to kind of just like everything else, all the other pressures and stresses in life kind of go away for the little while you're in the water. So I think it's always been nice to have that there for that. And then just, you know, I've always enjoyed sport and loved swimming especially, and you know, you make such great friends that I'll have with me for the rest of my life, so I'll always have swimming to thank for that.
And growing up, was there an athlete that you always looked up to?
I think, you know, I was always a fan of swimming in particular, watched the Olympics and Paralympics, and I think in 2019 I watched the World Para Swimming Championships that year, and watching my teammates now, Nicole and Ellen, win medals. So I think that's kind of what inspired me, and influenced me, and they've always, you know, had that influence on me, and kind of that was my start to getting into para swimming. So they definitely did have an influence.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what advice would you give to any up and coming athletes?
I would just say to always keep going, because I know that, you know, it doesn't always or it's not always positives. You know, you can definitely struggle. I definitely did with you know, not being able to progress or being stuck for a while, and I suppose it's just being able to push through that and to persevere and to know that, you know, it will get better and you will start dropping time or PBing again. So just definitely just to keep going and to believe.
Oh, amazing, Roisin. Thank you so much, and good luck with all your prep now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Off the Ball Daily.
Does your summer need a boost? Get ready to power up your home with Wayfair's Black Friday in July. Starting July 26th, you can get up to 80% off everything home. Save on living room updates, home decor, outdoor, and way more. Plus, flash deals you don't want to miss, and get free shipping site-wide. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July from July 26th through 29th. And head to Wayfair.com to start shopping our lowest prices of the summer.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.